welcome to the Scene Weekly podcast, where we pirate dive into one movie every week. And this week's episode is focused on nostalgia and from the digital joy of video games, young and old, and with our take on the 2015 movie Pixels. Come join Jonathan and Steven for another week of hopefully less plot chatter and copious more film banter. We are Scene Weekly. Welcome to our world. I have a question for you.
Sure.
When's the last time you had a nickname?
Nickname? Probably when I was playing soccer, baseball growing up. I was known as White Lightning.
So you haven't had a nickname in a while.
Not in a long time. Shaka Steve, I gave that myself my own nickname.
You can't do that, we know. But I've as of today, I've created a new nickname for you, my sweet darling. But first, the anticipation, let it sit for a second. Your camera seems to be shaking. It looks like you're possibly in an earthquake right now. I hope you're going to be okay, but nonetheless.
This janky table here.
The whole screen's shaking. But anyway, so why don't we start with your attire?
Okay.
Why don't we start there and sure. How that got chosen and how we spent 86 minutes doing so.
No, not 86 minutes, but basically got out of the shower, grabbed the first few things I saw, and then put on this this jacket to add some color.
53 minutes, to be precise. And so I have a nickname for you because okay. I had a canceled meeting. And so we had originally set the 11:30 timeline, if you will. And we all agreed to that. And then I commented to say, I'm good to go entirely now. And you said, oh, just let me get ready. And so that really means the 11:30 is out of the equation. But then, of course, you don't check your phone. And so this is your new nickname. It's because you have one mode. You can't go out of that one mode, and you are cruise control. Ooh. I think that's a good nickname for you. It's apt. Anytime I travel with you, it's like if there's any rush that – if you are rushing, something breaks or something like goes wrong, like you miss a key card and you're lost or something like that – or it's just you can't really rush too well, I would say.
Nah. Like I said, I'm trying to be on island time all the time. So
anyway.
Cruise control is good.
Yeah. How did we get here? Pixels. I really just want to get into it. I don't have a whole lot of time. Per the usual. See, this is what it looks like when your camera shakes. Do you see that?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting. But nonetheless, I have a wall over here that you could ever have seen before. And now, are the acoustics worse? Are they better?
They sound pretty good to me.
I'm completely shut in now. I have a basement. I don't even know what to call this. I guess a movie theater-sized podcasting studio, if you will, cruise control. But I want to get into this movie because I, just right off the bat, adore it. I love it. I love video games from the 80s specifically, and I would say early 90s and even the early 2000s, which we'll get into in a second. But I will say this, Cruise Control, the people who hate on this movie, they probably are playing video games now, and those games are more than likely, if I had to guess, like Call of Duty or Fortnite. And so they just don't understand what actually is happening, I think, in this movie. That's my excuse, at least. But with that being said, I'm going to start with the synopsis, and then I'm going to go into the review, because I think they both are needed. And the movie is a 2015 juggernaut of mass proportions, in my view. And as you'll see in Sean Heckman's review here in a second, Mr. Shawnee Boy's clearly going to agree. But when the aliens intercept video feeds of classic arcade games and misinterpret them as a declaration of war, they attack Earth using the games as models. Knowing that he must employ a similar strategy, the president is played by Kevin James, the president of the United States, recruits his childhood pal, former video game champ and home theater installer Sam Brenner, who is played by Adam Sandler, to lead a team of old school arcade players to save the world effectively. And just a star-studded cast, but I really want to get into the actual review that I found joyful. It's the greatest. It may well be my favorite review I've ever read. And it's terrific.
First of all, where did you read this? Where did you find
this? This is a Google review. He's reviewed two movies in his whole lifetime. I think he's probably eight, if I had to guess.
Who the heck is Sean Heckman?
puns are not allowed here. Puns are still like 10 years ago. Aren't puns like just so trivial now?
Bringing them back.
I don't know. I think puns are for the unintelligent. But he is not, and I'm not, in agreement with the Rotten Tomato score of 18%. Quite low. I would have chosen below our like 20% that we had that. What was it? It's not sour grapes, but
it was
what was the title? Anyway, below 20%, I think, was the standard. But Mr. Sean Heckman, whoever you are, I do believe you're probably 10 by now. Or actually, you're probably 25, maybe. Anyway, a random person online, have no idea, but one human with a stellar review. His other was Morbius, both of which got 5 stars. Out of 5 stars. He only just drops bangers, evidently. I did not read the Morbius review. This is what it says. Bliss. It's not capitalized. When I first watched this movie, I immediately realized that this is going to be one of the best films of all time. After a full watch, I know I have come to the conclusion that this movie, Pixels, is the best movie of all time. This movie's writing, cinematics, cast, and storytelling is the best of any of the 5 films I have ever watched. Those films being Paul Blart, Mall Cop 2, The Terminator, The Addams Family 2, and Scarface. I highly recommend watching this film. It will change your life. Just reading it as it's supposed to be read. You will become a new man with new opportunities, new splendors to explore. Please, I beg, watch this film. And I did. I watched it twice in 2 days, and I watched it a month before that. And I just have to say, Mr. Sean Heckman, you are the next Mr. Ebert. You want to be just nailing down 5-star movies. I'm a big fan of the review, and I'm a big fan of this movie. If you've never played 80s video games, you've never been to an arcade, might be a little tough for you, I think. Might be an 18% movie, I think.
Yeah, but I played the video games. I've been in an arcade before. And, you know, it's hard to argue with Mr. Heckman on his very detailed review of how much he loves this movie.
Pretty good,
by the way. Pretty good, yeah. I mean, I told you going into this, like, I had no recollection or idea of this movie when it came out.
That's a shame.
That is a shame.
Just rolling over in his grave right now.
Yeah.
What should be this 90-year-old man? Just watch 5 movies in his whole life.
What was your favorite video game to play when you were a kid in the 80s? Did you have a favorite?
It was Zelda 2. And I started with Zelda 1, but when Zelda 2 came out, I was like, this is the jam. But I would have to say, I mean, it transitioned. First, it was Super Mario Brothers or Mario Brothers 1. When that first came out, I think I've said on this podcast on multiple occasions, it was one of the happiest days of my whole life and still is to this day. And the opening of that box, we got for Christmas from my aunt. We had to stay late to the airport to pick up because it was on a different... Anyway, one of the greatest days of my life. But then, you know, I started playing Zelda 1. I enjoyed Zelda 1. Not as much as the aspects of Zelda 2. I think the character really developed Link, and the game was gold. But yeah, what about you, arcade or otherwise? Let's just open it up to the whole world.
Yeah, I remember when I first got the Nintendo, and it was always just Mario and Duck Hunt, and I loved the hell out of Duck Hunt, man.
Like, you still? Did you cheat? Did you bring it up to the screen and fire like that?
I didn't like doing that. I mean, there was times where, you know, you play around and you do it, but I like getting back there and like really trying to aim. And it was like the first, like, I mean, it felt like it was way ahead of its time. I was in the future. It was amazing. But
how did it feel to be in the future?
Felt pretty good. Felt like
I still have a Duck Hunt in Nintendo original and the gun.
Have you blown off the cartridge and put it in and see if it still works?
I can go grab it now if you like.
I don't know how good that would be for the podcast, but Mario was great. Duck Hunt. I was horrible at this game, but I wanted to be so good at it. I think 80s games were harder than today's games, just like actually beat and get to the next level. But Paperboy was my jam.
Fucked me up. Paperboy fucked me up, man. Paperboy was one of those that the first, it was such a deceivingly easy game at the beginning and then became the most horrendous game possible, hardest game possible. And I just, it was very difficult. Yeah, I would agree. But yeah, it was more more about the patterns, I would say.
Yeah, it was a scroller and you didn't know what was going to come next. And then you get to the construction zone and you're going over jumps and having to do wheel. Like, it was just, it was insane. I don't think I ever got past level 3. Maybe 4. Maybe got to 4, but I don't think I ever got past that.
I have Paperboy. I should open this up. I mean, I have now. I've connected everything here and all my gaming systems are going to be here. I would actually like to play on this huge screen. That'd be amazing.
You think you'd be a little bit better? You'd have an edge?
I'd be worse for sure. Absolutely worse. I mean, I did play Excitebike, I think probably with you, and I tried to beat 54 seconds on like track 2. But I got a haircut and I feel like a hair is just like,
yeah,
tickling my face. When's the last time you did a wheelie? I think you're about to say a wheelie.
I don't think I've ever really tried to attempt a, like, maybe I've attempted it, but no, I've never done a wheelie. Or was I good at it?
You've never like surfed on your bike?
Like popped it up like that? No.
No, like jump on the handlebars if you're like goofy foot with your right foot and your left foot, you're on the seat.
Never did that. Nope. Did you?
You never? Yeah. I got pictures of this. I had ramps as a kid. So you didn't do it? Were you like, you're probably like a inline skate kind of guy, roller derby?
Rollerblades, yeah. I even was a paper boy 7th, 8th grade, and instead of a bicycle, I used rollerblades to go around and deal out those papers.
That seems tiresome. You make it like 20 homes, and you're like, that's it. Like, where do you store the papers? What?
You have a big satchel front and back. It was in Indiana, so it was flat. It was easy.
Did you have a dog?
No, I didn't have a dog to pull me around.
Anyway. It seems like it'd be a reasonable attraction. By the way, I had a sit-down Space Invaders machine. So like this actually harkens back to my childhood, big time. Two-player sit-down. Do you know what Space Invaders is?
Yes, I know what Space Invaders is. I was awful at that as well.
I was very good at that only because I was forced to be, because we had a sit-down one, and I had many family members who liked to talk mad shit, primarily my brother, and we were at war. Who can get a better high score? And then we also had a pinball machine. So like this movie does well for the individuals like myself. And later in life, I don't know how we procured it. Somebody from my family probably got it off the back of a truck possibly, but I had one of those bowling arcade games, you know, with the ball and then you try to hit all the pins down. That was addicting too.
I think I know that. Yeah. My biggest memory was of these kind of classic video games was every time I went to this dentist, he had like this tabletop, you know, arcade game thing where you could choose Pac-Man, Tetris, Space Invaders. And like, that's the only reason I wanted to go to the dentist. Yeah, I'd be like, you can take your time. I'll go with my sister to the dentist and just play video games.
That's cool. That's a problem. My church growing up, like when the Nintendo 64 came out, for whatever it's worth, decided that they wanted to get kids into the church more frequently. So they bought like 8 machines with 8 TVs. And like, of course, the kids came like flocks. They also had a pinball. Like they had pretty much everything that you would dream about. And then you had to go to church right after. When people are just like, when can we play a Nintendo 64 game? Just go. Imagine going GoldenEye for like 45 minutes prior to church and then talking about Moses and palm fronds and the Red Sea being parted.
You know, I mean, all you're thinking about is when can I get up and go back and play some video games? It's wild.
Yeah, I remember playing Nintendo 64 and then I remember the pastor immediately after saying sex before marriage is wrong. And then I was like, I didn't even have sex at that time, but I was like, GoldenEye seems pretty nice right now. can I go play that? And then I started thinking, this is a question I had for you. Were you ever attracted to a video game character? I mean, because, you know, in this movie, there's certainly moments where you're like, oh yeah, maybe if she was a real life character, and who would that be?
Oh, this is, I don't even have to think about this. 1990.
Reptile from Mortal Kombat?
No, no. 1997, I think it was, Tomb Raider, Lara Croft.
Mm.
And it was just, I was like, okay, there's
those triangular titties.
There's the love of my life. Let's go explore some dark, cavernous caves.
Oh, boy.
I didn't mean to go there.
You did. I mean, she does have a couple, I think. Maybe three. Yeah. So that's good. But it's interesting that didn't they save some capital, some money by making her like just big and blocky? I saw a picture recently of Angelina Jolie actually playing that game because she was Lara Croft.
She was the Tomb Raider. Yeah, she was Lara Croft. Yeah. She did a great job.
I never really played it when it came out because that was the time where I had given up on video games. And it, my video game tenure ended with probably, it restarted again with Killer Instinct. And Orchid from Killer Instinct was my dream
girl.
Was
that the fighting game?
That's right. Yeah, I still have it. I bought it recently for that game, not to see Orchid again, to be clear, just to play. I got my ass kicked, handed to me, like royally. Pretty much like watching you try to play Halo again, and you, like we used to be pretty good, honestly.
Yeah, yeah.
Like there was like six people playing on Earth at the time when we were ranked like very high. But I remember playing with you for like 8 hours a day, and pretty much after Halo 2 and then Halo 3 came out, I never played video games again. I would say. I mean, I played it like Mario Odyssey, but that's it. Only one game. Never played in a game again. Isn't that weird? It seems strange.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny that you you have a collection of these video games, but you haven't booted up the system in a while. Sounds like
I basically bought them. So I bought them in like the 80s and 90s, in the early 2000s, and then I just never sold them. I just still have them. Yeah.
Well, it's a gift that you can bring to. Down the generations, you know what I mean? Like, show them where you came from before they dive into Minecraft.
Well, we brought a typewriter out recently, and that's been a joy. That's
oh, you're starting really early. Okay, yeah. That's the first video game.
We're going linear here. It actually is a video game to my daughter, who actually can write her name, and also that's it. Yeah, that's about all she can do. I was gonna say she can do something else. She can't even go down, you know, the next line. I have to do that, and then if it doesn't happen fast enough, which a typewriter doesn't, she gets very angry that, you know. So we're in that day and age. But anyway, we'll get to the video games. But I have to say, the soundtrack, going back to Pixels, unbelievable. And I would say so well used and exactly and precisely the songs that should be used. For example, Freddie Mercury and Queen of We Will Rock You, like just talking about how amazing they are, is like the perfect moment to be using that. The end of somebody just getting crushed in a video game, or the Surrender song. I mean, you just go through the list of 80 songs that are utilized in this. It's, oh man, outside of maybe an 80s soundtrack of a movie set in the 80s, or either set in the 80s or a movie from the 80s, I don't think it's going to be better. I'd have to really like quantify this. It's fucking terrific. And I actually kept rewinding and listening to stuff and like the songs and how like they edited the songs in and the moments of the visuals tying in. The editing, I loved.
Are you a big fan of 80s music? You like 80s music?
Huge fan. And we'll talk to that in a second. Keep that for in the back pocket, I would say. But I will say, you know, Amy Lou, what's her name? Amy Lou Wood. The big tooth girl in White Lotus.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Freddie Mercury was the original, right? I mean, she's just kind of riding the coattails.
It's a British thing, I feel like. It's definitely a British thing. You know, celebrate the
big toothed. Yeah. A little long in the teeth.
They don't do the orthodontics like we do here. As
I
much.
Think it's a misconception, actually. Common misconception, I will add. It's interesting. What if your teeth, just like your ears and nose, got bigger as you age? That'd be an interesting concept. Because then you'd be like, you can't really hide it, right? You'd be shaving down your teeth and then you can't eat. But anyway, I've realized while watching this movie that the Queen song, There's not a whole lot of songs that actually in the song lyrics themselves request you to sing the song with them. And you probably can't even think about how quick on your toes you might be to this. But I started thinking about it. And do you have any ideas of like songs that you could actually sing and you like to sing? And when you're requested to do so by the person who wrote the lyrics, be like, come on, eventual person who's going to listen to this song, why don't you sing with me?
It happens at concerts, I feel like. They get the crowd involved all the time.
No,
but
in the music. Not in a concert. In the actual lyrics themselves.
Gosh, no, I can't think of one off the top. All I can think of is like YMCA, and that's just like dancing to the words.
Yeah.
You know?
I think they're all bangers, though. I found another. John Denver's. Is it West Virginia or Country Roads? It's Country Roads.
Country Roads, Country Roads. Yeah.
Yeah, just... they're all bangers. I found two, actually. That's it. I'm sure there are more out there, but I will have to say Freddie is the greatest singer of all time, man or woman. But do you still play video games? No?
No, not really. Not as much as I used to back in the Halo days. There'll be times where like I'll be like, oh, let's download the newest. You know, there was an Indiana Jones game that I played like 4 hours of. That was pretty fun. It was like playing a movie, but as Indiana Jones. So that was pretty cool. That's a new game, newer. But yeah, I downloaded, like, I remember a few years ago, I downloaded like the Halo Master Chief Collection. And like, I went on there and I got, you know, online and I got rocked.
Yeah. Just, I remember like, seeing you get destroyed.
It wasn't fun.
Yeah. You, had like two or three kills and they were probably accidental, like you were close to somebody who rocket launched their foot or something like that, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
But I remember playing as well and be like, yeah, this isn't as fun as I remember. People online are just like, there's way more people online and they're taking it, there's people are professionals at playing games now and have been for years, but just different time. But anyway, back to the actual movie itself. 18%. The whole world is going to hell until all the old team has to get back together. I mean, it's just a star-studded cast. Peter Dinklage, who, you know, allegedly cheated in his old glasses back in the day. And Adam Sandler, of course, with Kevin James. It's a typical crew from a Happy Madison production, with that being said, which is terrific in effect. But something I never noticed or even heard of in trivia, and I didn't look up any trivia, but this was like a part of like Prime bubble. And I was like, that's an interesting one. And then I never looked up any more trivia because I was like, I just need this one. But I don't know if all of the leading ladies in the Happy Madison flicks are all named. Their first name starts with a V. But it's definitely happened in at least five movies. And I just don't, I wonder why. V is an interesting one, but it's kind of like wearing different clothes on a podcast every single week.
Yeah.
Just
I'm surprised
putting
you noticed.
Clock on your wall that's, you know,
stuck in time,
just, you know, just there. But those are the ones that, like, I wonder if it's a throwback or like a shout out to somebody that would only one person would understand.
Probably. I didn't even notice that the female character's V. Who would have thought?
Somebody who watches the movies exponentially. But I will say, after watching White Lotus and now this with Tooth of Freddie Mercury and Michelle, how do you say her name? Moynihan? Magna Hanna? I always ask you about surnames, right? Because you're the surname.
Michelle Monaghan. Monaghan? Monaghan.
Monaghan?
Monaghan.
That's what I would go with.
There's a G in there. Maybe it's silent.
You know, I am... she's gorgeous. Just like... And then White Lotus, just gorgeous. It feels like she hasn't aged a day. Whatever she's got, I would like to have. But anyway, so overall, what was your thought on the movie itself? I mean, the whole world's coming to shit, and they literally have to, in real life, play video games. Wouldn't you be confident in something that you were terrific at? I mean, it's like basically a national champion if you take out first place Peter Dinklage with the cheating. National champ back in the day.
Yeah, let's back this up and just realize the fact that this whole plot feels like an improv sketch of like, my best friend growing up is now the president of the United States. He has the Secret Service behind him while we're sharing a beer. Like, what? It's Kevin James.
I know your lens is always going to be improv now, since you're moving on the 201 and you're fancy like that. But is that something that you would have created? Because I think it's even more complicated. I mean, that's a hard premise.
No, the whole idea of improv is like you can just walk in and be like, yes, I'm the president of the United States. Well, yes, you are, sir. Come on in. Bring the Secret Service behind you.
Do you think he plays a good president, Kevin James?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, he's got his buddy and he's recruiting his friend to save the world. It's like if we knew each other as young lads and like, yeah. I grew up to be president and I said, hey, Jonathan, I need you to come and save the world for me. Would you do that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think he plays a great president. I mean, if you're thinking of like comparison to like Harrison Ford in a drama, which it seems like you're doing in your brain, it's a weird thing to do. This is a Happy Madison film. I think Sean Heckman would understand that this is truly a fantastic film. It's the best film of all time. It'll change your life. You'll become a new man, new opportunities. But I think of all the Happy Madison characters, I mean, it's him. I think comparing presidents, like, do you remember Idiocracy?
Yeah.
Terry Crews. That's a pretty good president.
Ed is a pretty good president. I like Terry Crews as president. I think that was great.
That'd be like complaining of, hey, just Harrison Ford would have done really well there. Improv would have been better. But I will say, I loved him as president. And I love the setup of this. It reminded me basically about how ridiculous video games are back in the day. It's like the replication of this. They're so simple, pretty standard, but that's all we needed. Simple and standard. And you could replicate it quite literally, even still to this day. And I don't know if this is true for kids now, but if they went to play video games, let's say that we're discussing this movie, like a Galaga, for example, or Space Invaders, or even like Super Mario Brothers, Centipede, whatever that might be, I wonder if the playability is for them is repeatable like it is for us, or for me, I should say, because I can pick up any of these games and still be like, I would rather play this than probably any game out now. Is that just because it's a childhood thing? This week's episode is sponsored by Soul Roots Running Company, where you can find the best covers for your feet that make you travel comfortably and quickly across sidewalks like Shel Silverstein. Soul Roots offers all varieties of running shoes, clothes, and accessories. And for 10% off, please use the code SCENE, S-C-E-N-E, at checkout. And any order over $180 is free to ship anywhere in the continental United States. Head over to shop.soulrootsracing.com and fill up your cart for 10% off with the code SCENE.
Yeah, there's definitely a nostalgia factor involved. And I think kids today would see these as like primitive, like this is just basic. I could literally go around a square eating ghosts and then like they're bored by the end of it.
You think so?
I don't know.
Then yeah. Why did they create, so you think they created like those systems that compile all like every single Super NES and NES and Genesis game into like one package for like $100 for the people who like us that are just old and want to play the games again. So nobody from like the generation now is buying it.
I wouldn't say it's a black or white issue, but I would say that like kids today are looking for the, the kid in the movie, he was like playing I think it was a zombie game that was ultra violent. He's like, yeah, there's no pattern here. It's just like, you're the guy and you have to stay alive. And that's way more exciting than trying to figure out a pattern.
They say that the music you listen to at the exact age is basically like 14 to 17, basically is always going to be kind of your favorite, which is interesting because I was forced to listen to Christian music up until I was like 16, maybe 17 even. And like, I wasn't provided the opportunity to listen to much music. I would only listen to it at my friends' homes. And But it's 100% true. Like all the, no, it's not true, but it's almost true. Like 90s rap, my favorite rap, like hands down and by far. Like I think it is a subjective and objective thing. And like, I don't know, Third Eye Blind and basically the generation of music then was terrific. And I wonder if the same thing exists at a younger age if you're playing video games. I wish there was a smart person who ever watched this and could tell us.
I would think so. I mean, I'm not smart or an expert in this field, but I feel like you're right. It's just weird that like I'm now thinking about like what I was listening to at 14 to 17, and a lot of it was like coming home and watching TRL and seeing like Backstreet Boys and Korn and Britney Spears. I'm like, I don't know if that's my favorite music, but definitely like when I got deeper into college and things like that, I think that's where my musical taste actually developed.
Well, there were other that's like TRL though. Like that's just what's popular, you know? Like that doesn't mean just because it's out, I mean you can do a little more digging, I would say. Blink-182, for example, was around at the same time. Or
Eminem.
No Effects.
I was listening to some Eminem, yeah.
There's plenty of bands, but you're not a Backstreet Boys kind of guy, huh?
More NSYNC, definitely more NSYNC all the way. Yeah.
I bet you were the type that probably tried to do the dance. Or the dances. See, there you go. Recently. Backstreet's back. All right. I have a friend who actually did a talent show to that. What is that song NSYNC's? Bye Bye Bye? Is that what it's called?
There it goes.
I'm tired of this. This is the second one. It already broke before. But anyway, man. I don't even know this guy's real name, but basically, I don't even know his fake name. At a loss for all words and names here, but can you help me out? Adam Sandler's basically sidekick who was trying to chloroform
Josh Gad. Yeah.
There we go. Gad, who is also in what? Hot Tub Time Machine? Is that a wrong person?
Yeah, I think it was in Frozen, too. Definitely in Frozen.
Very good in Frozen, yeah. But I will say the moment of the bow bow and him yelling to his mom was very similar to the meatloaf with Will Ferrell. And I don't know what it is. Somebody in another room and you're screaming to them, you could pretty much yell whatever, explain it, like anything you like. And if you just yell it loud enough, it's always funny to me. And that, I think, is a sign of stupidity. Both myself as the receiving end of it and the person providing it, Happy Madison. But I think that Mr. Sean Heckman would say otherwise.
Did you ever watch, I think you did, this movie reminded me of a documentary called King of Kong, A Fistful of Quarters.
Yeah. You, and, I think, recommended it.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite documentaries of all time. Just the story of basically the 80s arcade championships. And then a guy years later, just getting a Donkey Kong machine in his garage and be like, I'm going to be the best in the world at this.
But he was already good. If not, like, great. He had the ability to be solid. Are you sure you don't have a... is your whole building shaking?
Yeah, it's California, man. There's earthquakes all the time.
Move to California. It's lovely. We have avocados. Do you know California is the number one producer of peaches in the country? And it's not even like a close battle.
But Georgia's known for it.
That's correct. But Georgia, I think, is number three, South Carolina being number two. I think I read this on like a Snapple that was on the ground and trash and I was picking up.
Written by Sean Heckman.
I'll have to... I want to get Sean Heckman on this platform. If, you know... He's not like a crazy person. Doesn't seem crazy.
We are dedicating a whole episode to the movie Pixels. He's gonna have to find if this is his favorite movie. He's gonna look it up.
Maybe it's changed. That's true. Add in a little Shawnee boy stuff. But anyway, I like the quote and Happy Madison. I mean, this is like, you know, you like your puns. And so I think you would probably enjoy this. What's the question was, have you been playing Space Invaders recently with Adam and Josh hanging out? Why? What's up? Because you're invading my space. And I thought of you because you know, if you could, you could speak your whole life in existence in puns forever. And so when you listen to something like that, do you think, man, I wish I would have written that? That's, you know, I went to school. I've watched Bicycle Thieves. I have really seen some crucial filmmaking. And that's a line I just really am jealous about. I feel like that's what you think.
You feel like it, but no, I definitely moaned at that line.
I think in improv, you're supposed to say yes and, right?
Yes.
Remember how you said you would roll with anything? This is what I said. I said, you won't.
Well, you want the honest feedback or you want the playing of the game here?
Well, I'm clearly lying. Like, it's not true. So I was hoping that I could make it abundantly clear, which I thought I did. But nonetheless, I thought it was a great line. Just a lovely, lovely line. Also, the 4chan reference to One Tree Hill and him repeatedly watching One Tree Hill. And he had to get the VHS because he didn't believe. He thought, you know, he's being spied on in every which way. I don't even know where you go to do 4chan. I don't know even how to say it. But I know of a lot of the references that have been utilized by other people. Like, it started off with, I don't know, like the Pizzagate thing evidently like started on that. And then like just things start as a joke. And I think Flat Earth started on 4chan as like, like the Earth's flat. Somebody said it as a joke and it became a real thing. And I'm like, we are in a very scary time. But anyway, that made me actually laugh out loud, probably more than anything that I was listening to. Other than, of course, have you been playing Space Invaders recently? Which I, you know, thought you would have really enjoyed that line. But anyway, I'll leave you with this. I loved the complete iteration and envelopment of the time period, and going back to like malls basically. So like in the Stranger Things, for example, the old time like 80s and 90s malls, if you basically add that to any visual for me, I'm more than likely going to enjoy it. Whatever you're producing, it doesn't matter what it could be, a picture, it could be a moving picture, it could be a short, it doesn't matter what it is. But yeah, nostalgia really is it's got a stranglehold, I would say, over my desires to some extent. And I'll leave it with the last thing here. Max Headwave, big deal. Strangely enough, I actually thought he was a character for Pepsi. So my memory is not so good. He's actually a character for Coke. But I had my next door neighbor had a Max Headwave Coke skateboard that I used to skate on. I love how they just threw him in there. Like,
I mean, you know, if that's not a throwback to what you think of the 80s as, that's like that. That's it.
Yeah. Like quintessentially he's the first AI.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, yeah. I mean, I think probably you might go back to, yeah. I mean, where would be like the first use of AI? I mean, it's not AI, it's actual human being, but like they're pretending to be AI, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
Maybe 2001, A Space Odyssey, HAL.
Oh, that's true.
Could be that.
HAL is just one letter over from IBM. Do you know that?
What do you mean? I don't follow.
HIABLM.
Oh, got it.
IBM.
Did they do that on purpose or was that just a coincidence?
I don't even know.
You don't know?
Have no idea. Okay. Yeah.
But here's the podcast where we say things and then we don't know.
Yeah. Somebody once told me that. I looked it up and it actually is true. I mean, you don't have to.
You had to look it up. You didn't know the alphabet by heart. What's going on here?
There's 28, right?
Look that up. I went to the kindergarten classroom, and on the back wall there is the alphabet. That's where I found.
We have we have one of those on our wall. I looked up, and I was like, yeah, that's actually accurate.
Checks out.
We do have multiples on the wall. Hal and IBM. What do you think? Do you think they did this purposely?
No, I don't think it's a purposeful thing. I think HAL is just the name they wanted to give him.
Halliburton.
Okay.
It doesn't appear that there's, I mean, you're never going to find out, right? Mr. Cooper is probably, it'll just stay hidden forever. Wow,
what find
was
out
that?
In this book here. I'm gonna I'll find it out.
Did you read that?
I've read some. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm reading. Yeah, I know your deep work book right now.
You know what you actually did do is take my advice on how to not die alone. So congratulations on that. Even though you didn't read the book itself, you might die alone today by the look of it. I mean, it looks like things are very bad over there. But why don't we get down to it? Again, we haven't done one of these in a while, and I'm amped. I'm like extremely excited to do a top five.
Yeah, we're doing a top five.
And I guess we need to go for a ratings first. And I'll go first. How about that? I'm pretty excited about Pixels, and I think it is just a masterpiece. Like Mr. Sean Heckman said, it really instills and brings back nostalgia. Like Stranger Things did it to me as well, and I would rate very highly Stranger Things. There are some, I can't really think of any that are poor and shitty movies, even movies from the 80s that aren't well constructed. I enjoy. But I will say, without exaggeration, I can watch this on repeat, very similar to how I can play these games on repeat still. And frequently I'll take them out and play them. And it's odd that I can continue to do this over and over, just as I've watched this on back-to-back nights, still cracking up on either the cheesiness of these lines or the sincerity of the lines. And it's just that easy, happy-go-lucky lollipop that you can, you know, consume over an hour and a half period. And without exaggeration, I'm giving this a 4.5 glasses movie, because it just is on all fronts. It hits everything I enjoy on cinema, like to a T. The nostalgia, the music, and then it's about video games that I actually really truly love and appreciate. And I just love the Happy Madison crew. So 4.5. I would have gone 5 to go with Sean Heckman, so I should probably change it, but I can't. I've already said it. 4.5 glasses.
You already said it. Yeah. Okay. So going into this, I knew that I wasn't going to be watching art per se. So my mindset was
masterpiece.
I get masterpiece. It. I will read a review that I found enjoyable by Nong Pong on Letterboxd. A movie so great, I showed it to my paralyzed grandpa. He literally walked to the TV and turned it off.
Dude, that's an excellent movie. It made his parrot, like, that's like Jesus coming to life. You know, and when I was a kid, people would like lay their hands on people as they prayed. Like, mm-hmm. They didn't even need that.
No, it was just Pixels.
Dude, that's 5 glasses. That's a terrific review. That's amazing. Wow.
As a miracle.
Is he still walking around now? That's incredible, honestly.
I think all he has to do is just turn on the movie. And then
why wouldn't more people watch this movie then?
I don't know, man. It seems like
I never even heard that. I typed in like reviews of Pixels. I didn't see that. It seems like that would be like a front page like kind of thing. Like on The Guardian, basically. Like, man who is paralyzed. I don't know. Was it like a boating accident or something?
They didn't say, but I
was
do
so
know that,
inspired. Wow, that's amazing. Like, nobody had to take care of him after that, potentially. Like, I would imagine everyone would be recommending that movie, especially. Maybe that's why. Maybe it's Sean.
Maybe he showed it to his grandpa, and that like changed his life. Who knows?
That's good. That's good.
Yeah, this movie for me. I love Adam Sandler, so I'm not going to throw any shade at him. I thought the soundtrack was great. Apparently, miracles are happening when it's played. So it's getting 2.5 glasses from me.
So that's a 4.
Yeah, that's 7, a 4.
Wait, so I said 3.5.
3.5.
Something like that.
Meet in the middle.
2.5 is just so outrageously low. But you know what is not low? My love for 80s songs. And I will say this, let's cut to the chase. So this is our top 5. We haven't done one of these in a while. for whatever it's worth, I think I'm the only one that ever wants to do these anymore or thinks about them. So I created a topic. I felt like this would be a good one. Top 80 songs. Thought about top bunch of other 80 stuff, but top 80 songs is certainly the way to go after watching this movie. But with that being said, this is, I normally don't have trouble putting together lists of things. This is like, it's honestly impossible. And this is what I feel like. I wrote this down. I could probably change it right now, like to some, like interchangeably mixing and mashing. But I tried to mix my own desires, but also a little of objectivity, actually. So it's probably a little different than giving 4.5 glasses to Pixels. This is a mix, if you will.
This was hard. I'm not going to lie. This was hard, but I just tried to come up with the top five that I consistently listen to and like, and that came to my head right away.
And okay.
That's what I did.
Purely subjective then. Got it. So how about we start with number five? Can we have an, is there like a, can we add in like a 6 and a 7? Actually, I can't, because if it treads on your toes, I don't want to ruin the excitement. So we'll leave them for the end. How about that?
You could do a discard. Yeah.
No, let's do it at the end. Okay. But I have got, I love 80s music so much. And contrary to popular belief that people of the 60s and the 70s or people like who have listened to music from the 60s and 70s and enjoy it and say that when the 80s came around, people were just too coked up. They didn't care about the actual music itself. I could not disagree more with that sentiment. And you will see so by the songs that I have chosen. And I'm very excited to give you a number five. And my influence here is actually pretty large. I was there for the entirety of this group. And just from presentation to the actual music itself, and even afterwards, and even now, which is going to be very strange after I tell you who this is and what song I'm choosing for number five, going to be a lot of disagreement, a lot. You'd probably disagree more with me on this song than Pixels being the greatest movie of all time. And at five, Milli Vanilli, Blame It on the Rain.
The lip syncing group, Milli Vanilli?
That's right.
Oh, man.
Dude, the amount of times I have sung that before and after their... I wonder where they are now. I'd like to hang out with them. Be like, dude, I got to know about this. Like,
we should reach out. Yeah, Milli Vanilli, man. I haven't thought about them in a while, but Blame It on the Rain. Undeniable.
Girl,
right?
You know it's true. What's your number five?
My number five is a song that I just, it puts me in a good headspace, good vibe. Never been to this continent, but it's Africa by Toto.
Mm. So that's going to be my honorable discharged veteran number six, I will say. So I'm glad I didn't ruin it. That would be my wife's number one. I think by all standards, that should be a one or two spot. On an objective standard, if you will, but subjectivity is a fun one. Why don't you go next to number four? What do you got?
Number four, another one that just great. Put the windows down. Have the sun come out. Listen to this song,
dude. Imagine if you could put the sun down, like
put
a
the
light
sun down.
Switch. Be like, bitch, get down. You're down. All right, so put the sun down on us, and let's get to number four.
This is Men at Work, the Australian band, Down Under.
It's a good one. Song. It's a great one. This is the problem with 80s music. Or I guess, nah, I mean, if you were, 80s is a really tough one. Big fan. I also, on the outskirts, I would say it's in my top 20. Okay. My number four is one of those that's been utilized in a lot of films. And or people at seemingly think they can actually do the song at karaoke, and it you think it's gonna go well, and there's like not going so hot here. And I'm not saying Don't Stop Believing, but I'm saying Guns N' Roses, Welcome to the Jungle. And anytime this motherfucker gets on, it is ripping, and that's my number four.
That's good. I've never attempted that song at karaoke, but I have attempted my number three. And I don't stop believing, Jonathan. I don't. We're doing Journey.
Yeah. And I mean, it's the number one sung karaoke song. It is.
So this song will continue to get played generations from now. Like,
that's right.
Always and forever.
It's a good one to rip. My number three actually isn't my subjective number three, but I think in a groundbreaking fashion, it has to be in the top five of 80s music, and that's the Beastie Boys' Brass Monkey. I've been listening to Beastie Boys recently. They were so ahead of their time, like for white dudes, just crushed. Like, absolutely. Like, Sabotage, by the way, I don't know when that came out, but like mid-90s, early 90s, something. One of the greatest songs, like one of my favorite songs of all time. Just absolutely ripping it. But Brass Monkey, I wouldn't say it's my favorite. I wouldn't put it in a top 25 for me, but I think it is objectively, it should be a top five.
I love Beastie Boys.
Yeah.
I was actually, I don't think Brass Monkey was, it was like in my top 15 on this when I was deciding. But I had, what was the other one that I had? I had another one that was almost made the list. But anyways.
Don't stop till Brooklyn.
Yeah. That's great. What's your number two?
So my number two is actually near, these next two are actually my one and two for this exact and precise moment that we are speaking. If you were to call me on another day, my number one is, these number one and two are, I'll sing at karaoke, which is strange for the first, but number two is something of a near and dear, actually in the 80s and actually now, that I frequently continue to go back and play. And if you're a big fan of Mr. One Bobby Brown, New Edition's Mr. Telephone Man would really set you apart in what I think to be almost a perfect song. And it just gets in my head and I can't get it out. But Mr. Telephone Man, there's something wrong with my line. And I call my baby's number and I hear a click every time. Just love it. Big fan. Saw Bobby Brown dancing recently. I hope he doesn't hurt himself. Getting a little old. Yeah.
I think I need to listen to this song. It's not coming to my head.
Mr. Telephone Man, there's something wrong with my line. If you call my baby's number, I hear a click every time. Mr. Telephone Man. No?
No, don't know it, don't recall
then
it.
Then you've never heard it. It's outstanding. New Edition, fantastic. New Edition was Bobby Brown's band before Bobby Brown.
I know New Edition.
You should just listen to all New Edition. Excellent, excellent music.
Okay, my number two, it's definitely top 25 songs of all time.
Yeah. What do you got?
What's your backstory?
Yacht
Rock. Yeah. Nice. Hall & Oates, Private Eyes.
Yeah, nice. I knew this was going to be... So Out of Touch is my favorite Hall & Oates song, but you can't go wrong with... Just pick and choose whatever you like. Like for me, it was number seven, I would say. So it was close. I had a really tough time with all the Hall & Oates songs. Honestly, I've seen them live. They were crushing it. Over 70 years old. And I think they again broke up, but I can't hate on that. Can't hate on that. I mean, you could choose Maneater, you could choose whatever you like. I'd be like, yeah, that makes sense. Hall & Oates, just what a dynamic duo. And I guess I'll go first with number one. This song, I've spent way too much time spending money on replicating it. Listening to it, watching and listening to other people replicate it on whether it's a guitar, whether like you could do it on a table with your hands. I really think this beat is probably like the craziest and most unique beat. The band itself, I got addicted to, and still am addicted to the lead. And we'll just get into it. You won't know who I'm going to say, but Mr. David Byrne is just, you know, on the spectrum and does things in a very weird, kooky way. They say they're never going to play with each other again live. They just don't have to. I really regret his decision to not tour again. But my I mean, this has been in my top 20 favorite songs of all time. I think it's like third or something, but it's the Talking Heads, This Must Be the Place. And boy, I can't get it out of my head. And it's just like, you'll think about it after this. And it's my number one 80s song of all time. This Must Be the Place. I love the lyrics too.
I love the lyrics. I love the melody. I love David Byrne and the Talking Heads. I think that's a great pick. And I almost picked it.
Oh shit. Glad you didn't.
I almost did. And I picked another Talking Heads song, just because it just encapsulates what the 80s sounds like to me. I love the lyrics. I love that you can have a song where he's basically just talking.
Yeah.
And it's Once in a Lifetime by the Talking Heads.
Excellent. Outstanding song. And I will say that I'll have like a few drinks in me. It'll be a Friday night. I'll go back and forth between these two. I'll listen to them back to back and be like, this one is definitely better. No, this one's better. And then I'll do it again. And I'm like, while I'm listening to it, I was like, this is the greatest song of all time. Like, you think about the construction of the both songs individually, and you're like, this is the greatest song of all time. I do that. I continually still do that.
I literally did that last night when I was deciding this list.
It's, dude, it's so hard. And I think that's what I was getting to, and like some of these would change. Like that, I could interchange those two songs, and I would be happy with it. But yeah, fantastic. Top five.
I could literally take most of the songs in your list besides the one that I haven't heard and like probably insert it too. So 80s was a fruitful time. Great music. Can't complain.
Bismarcky, like if you were to add that in as well, like just I had to add that, but I was like, I don't know, Blame It on the Rain. Like it's just the whole totality of it. And then Welcome to the Jungle. But anyway. Until next time, friends, we don't have a topic, I don't think, for next time. What are we doing? It's an undecided, so we'll figure it out, and you'll figure it out too.
I think we should do K-Packs. I want to do K-Packs.
K-Packs? I don't think I've ever seen K-Packs. Is that with, I can't even think of his
Kevin Spacey. Not, yeah.
Kevin Spacey, but what's his, Frank Underwood. Is that his name?
That's his name in House of Cards. Yeah.
Yeah. I was trying to think of, he just did a bit with Tim Dillon, as Tim Dillon just dropped a special last night on Netflix. So he was recreating that character. But anyway, until K-Pax, I don't think I've actually seen it. So that should be a for you film.
All right. I'm excited for your thoughts on this one. Till next time.
Goodbye.